That was Ladytron and City of Angels from their newest album. Going to give you a quick rundown of some other sort of holiday-themed events happening around Vancouver. There are quite a number of Christmas-themed, holiday-themed theater events going on. Miracle on 4th Street, Miracle on 34th Street is being presented by the Arts Club Theater at their Granville Island stage until December 29th. Dolly Parton's Smoky Mountain Christmas Carol is on also at the Arts Club Theater until December 24th. Actually, it's over at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage, which I think is the one on Granville, isn't it?
It used to be a film theater.
Yeah.
And now they made it into live theater.
Yeah. The Gingerbread Men, another holiday cabaret, is also on at the Arts Club. They're very busy with their holiday programming. East Van Panto, as we already mentioned, East Van Panto Robin Hood on at the York Theater until January 5th. Many more things. Lots of things like the craft markets, some of which have happened already. And, of course, there are lots of lights things happening around Vancouver. And maybe we'll bring you some more information about that next week, because there's a lot more than you might realize.
A Christmas Carol is like Robin Hood. There's all these variations.
It is.
There's the cartoon variations, and then there's the, you know, there's a lot of them, actually. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. It's, you know, it's one of those stories like Robin Hood that everybody is familiar with. Right? So everybody kind of knows the bones of the story, which gives you a lot of freedom to sort of play around with things without losing people. Like, I remember there's a Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny and whatnot.
And then they did the Walt Disney one about 20 minutes in movie theaters a bit before that.
Yeah. And, so, of course, the classic Alistair Sim version in black and white.
Well, that goes by. It's the direct thing. But I remember in the 70s, they would have during Christmas time, there were a lot of cartoons. And they were not kind of send-ups, but they were kind of serious ones. They were half-hour cartoon variations of it.
Yeah.
So there were quite a bit of them. And actually, the comic book character Uncle Scrooge is named after Ebenezer Scrooge, mm-hmm. and he stays cheap, Uncle Scrooge, a little bit. Scrooge McDuck.
Yes,
but the name itself comes from.
Yes, of course. All right, let's head into our documentary. I hope you enjoy this, and we'll be back with Peter's discussion on
all these anarchists or self-described anarchists I've met in the course of a
here
lifetime.
In Vancouver.
No, Ottawa too.
Okay.
Ottawa.
I have nothing to give, I have everything to give. A documentary by Ulla Laidlaw. Okay, so it's Sunday, October the 4th, and it's 3:40 p.m. and I haven't done anything generous yet for anyone. I guess I just texted my friend to see how she's doing because she went through a breakup recently. I don't know if that's generous or just friendship. I also avoided a phone call because I felt I didn't have time for it. Not super generous.
Okay, so do you consider yourself to be a generous person?
No.
Here we are in the cafe, and I'm with Chantal.
But I would not consider myself to not be generous.
I certainly have the capacity for it, sure.
In some ways, yes. And in some ways, no.
Am I exercising that capacity?
If I was to define generous as giving to the limits of what I can give, then I would say yes.
Those are my friends, Christiane, Sasha, Chantel, and Carmen. I'm making a radio documentary on generosity, and they generously agreed to talk with me on the topic. I'm at my friend Jay's place, and I'm knocking on his door.
Hey, I'm at your place. Okay.
Jay's agreed to let me follow him on a one-week generosity challenge. The challenge is about assessing how much he gives, identifying what's hard for him to give, and asking him to give it anyway. I want to know if our usual limits of generosity are based in truth, or if we actually have much more to give than we think we have. And I want to see what happens if we push these limits.
That's Hello. Great.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm hungry.
Okay.
Are you hungry?
Sure.
Yeah. You don't have to eat.
Let's eat. I'm going to have the fries.
Just fries.
Okay. Yeah.
To go?
Yeah?
Yeah, we can go to the park.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And a name for them?
Jay.
Jay. And just, is this together or separate?
Separate.
That was great. I just caught on tape my participant overlooking an opportunity to be generous. And at that moment, I thought to myself, this is perfect. A perfect beginning to seeing him push his own generosity limits throughout this next week. But in the park, it didn't take long for him to turn the tables on me and reveal my own trouble with my own generosity practices. Speaking about the tasks I'd set up for him to do, he suggested...
Well, you have to do them yourself, too.
Not this week.
Why not?
Eventually, I dared to realize what was being revealed in this conversation.
So, is this just my journey? Oh, God, it's so embarrassing. I feel like you have all the answers, and I don't.
I don't have all the answers. I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to be connected in that way to the world. And I feel like I'm not. I feel like I intentionally disconnect myself because of fear of giving that I won't be okay if I give. But then the truth is, if I feel like that if I get over that fear, then I don't know. I could be tapped in a bigger way. Maybe life is a whole different story that I'm not part of yet.
So it was decided. It needed to be me. It was me who sensed I was holding back of what I could give. Don't get me wrong, I think there are ways in which I am generous, but there's other areas that I really stop myself in, that I just feel like I can't give. And I didn't know if that feeling that I was basing my inaction on was true or not. So it was time to explore it. We wrapped up our conversation.
I'm eating all your fries.
No, please, help yourself.
Yeah.
That's so generous.
Thank you.
But I wasn't willing to go down without a fight. This is my friend Christiane.
So would you be willing, for the purpose of this documentary, to give something that you normally would stop yourself from giving?
No. I'm not giving anything to anyone. I'm not giving anything to anyone. Then fuck off.
Very well. Thank you for your time.
What was the question? What was I supposed to give?
For the purpose of the documentary.
Someone who will give
who will give what they don't have or what they would normally stop themselves from giving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's my next question is what do you feel you don't have to give?
Oh, and then ask someone to give it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. But he didn't jump on board. So, yeah, it had to be me. I signed myself up for giving what I didn't want to give, what I didn't have, or didn't feel I had. Okay, so I got a text from Domenico asking me if I could come next Wednesday to help him on the shoot. And I was like, okay, this is something I don't want to do. Because I feel like I don't have work and I don't have time and... It's another thing to do, but anyways, I just texted him back and I said, yes, of course. I guess we'll see what happens. If I'll end up, I don't know, broke or something, more broke.
What's my next question? What do you give to people?
I want to believe that I give space when people need it.
Oh, that must be true. I want to cry. That's usually a pretty good indicator of truth.
What are the realms of generosity that you don't like to give?
Generosity of spirit, I guess, is what I'm wrestling with at the moment, and that's about being dismissive of people. Am I able to be generous if I didn't decide I wanted to be? If I've consciously gone, yes, I am going to give this person my time today, and I'm happy to do that because I decided that. If I haven't made that decision and someone's... I find that challenging. Yeah, that it has to be done with my permission and that it has to be conscious.
This is Domenico on the phone. He's giving me the details of the shoot that I'm going to help him on tomorrow.
Okay, and what time tomorrow?
7:20, Safeway, like 2 blocks from your house.
7:20. Okay, great.
You can sleep in the car.
Are your perceptions of what you have always accurate?
No. Well, it's like going through your closet when you're moving and finding all these things you didn't know you had there.
Do you think that you have more to give than you actually give in your life?
Yes.
What would you be giving if you allowed yourself to give what you feel you have to give?
There's a whole lot of money, time, passion, physical, points of view, opinions, everything.
And why do you stop yourself?
Sasha's response really resonated with me.
I almost feel like it's like self-preservation. It feels like it's false, maybe false, but it feels like self-preservation. Like, well, it feels very primal.
This was me for sure. I just wasn't sure if in my case it was real or perceived, or as she puts it, false. But I was really hoping it was just perceived.
Okay. It's 7:20. Up with the crows. And off to meet Domenico. So, what can I do?
How many C-stand heads do you have? We have two. If you could give me one more head, that would help.
One more of those?
Yeah. Is it attached to there?
Okay. Check. It is 9:52 a.m. I'm guarding the gear here in Port Coquitlam, and it's really cold. Everyone else is shooting inside.
I needed my community's opinion on if what I was trying to do was possible. Is it possible to be generous when we feel like we can't, and how do we do it? I went back to Carmen, who'd shared that it had been hard for her to give attention when she'd been interrupted from her own work.
Do you think it's possible in those moments to, like, switch and become authentically generous, even though it's hard?
It is possible. It's certainly possible. Yeah. It's a space of removing assumptions about the person, about what's happening, about why I'm doing it, and how I expect to feel. It's that space of presence and openness and compassion for that person in that moment. It should all work out for everyone.
And do you think how do you think you would feel if you were to achieve that? And how do you think that?
Awesome! All the time!
I want to be able to experience that level that Carmen suggested. And things were looking pretty good on set in Port Coquitlam, where I was experiencing some highlights of the day, including a stranger coming by and offering me a plant-based granola bar. Been waiting here forever. Yeah, random act of generosity came at me. He saw me waiting from his office window for all these hours and came down to chat. Yay! But the whole truth is, it wasn't an easy day. The truth is, I didn't have a great day. I felt anxious. I felt like it was really generous of me. It was a long day, and I didn't really feel like I was that much help. I felt like it was too much to give, and I left the day feeling really stressed about my own things, my own concerns. I felt discouraged that maybe I actually didn't have it to give. I really wasn't experiencing what Carmen had proposed was possible and that I believed was possible. Maybe I actually didn't have it to give. I felt ready to give up, but then this conversation happened.
Sometimes I will give when I want to say no and then just go take better care of myself. Okay,
how does
yeah.
that make you feel when you were like, oh, now I can give this thing that I didn't used to be able to give? How does it make you feel now to be able to give that? And why did you decide to teach yourself to give
up? Because sometimes it's what people need.
Because sometimes it's what people need. Maybe it didn't matter at all what I felt during the day with Domenico.
Those moments of saying yes. It's like when you hear a call, or when I hear a call, and I'm able and wanting to say yes, even if there's a little bit of uncomfortability, it feels really good. It's really rewarding. Yeah.
Strangely, after a few days, I noticed that I felt connected to Domenico's project. I wanted to know what was happening with it, and like Sasha described, I started to feel really good about what I'd done. And beyond that, more remarkably to me, I started to realize that I did have it to give. Because I gave it. I must have had it.
Sometimes wanting to say no is doesn't have to do with them asking you outside of your means. Sometimes it has to do with yourself. And, I mean, we put up protective blockages all the time, and sometimes us saying no is hoarding. And sometimes we don't need to hoard anymore. Like, there's that whole difficulty of you put up these blockages and eventually they don't need to be there anymore. And what those blockages do is they make us think we've reached our capacity. And you have to learn yourself well enough or be constantly in check with yourself to figure out if that blockage is a wall you don't need there anymore.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm so grateful to my community, to Jay, Christiane, Sasha, Carmen, and Chantel for sharing their own discoveries, their wisdom, and their practices with me, and to Domenico for the opportunity. And I'm grateful for the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, British Columbia, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada for the production of this piece. Thanks for listening. I'm Ula Laidlaw, and this piece was sound edited by Joshua Hemming.
And thank you for that, Ula. That was a documentary funded by CJSF. It's been a little while since we've revisited. Quite a fun one. Peter, let's do some. I'm going to do some quick weather here before we move on. And it's actually looking like at least the first part of the week is pretty decent. We're going to have sun and mixed clouds from today through to Wednesday. Highs up into the 7 degrees, lows down overnight to 2 degrees. On Wednesday night, the clouds and the rain arrive. And we're going to have generally periods of rain and chance of showers alternating throughout the rest of the week with highs up to 8 with a peak of 11 degrees on Friday and lows down to anywhere from 3 to 5 degrees overnight. So that's what our week is looking like this week, Peter.
So I'm going to – what it was, I wasn't part of the APEC 1997 protests, but I was part of the thing that was planning it. It was Vanarchy, pun on Vancouver Anarchy, at Spartacus Books. And what I'm going to detail is how I got to sort of know about Spartacus Books as such. Now, with the exception of grade 9, grade 10 and 11, 1978 to 1980, I lived in the Vancouver area. I'm now in the Lougheed Mall area for the last 7 years. But I lived in Ottawa. And there was a free newspaper, and I did my – I had my – but the drawings, the cartoons were in it. It's called Spectrum. And Gary Moffat, along with Alan Chrisma, were the two people sort of behind it, right? It was a – I think it was 5,000 copies, which – how they were able to cheat – because with a web press, you're supposed to do 10,000, but they did 5,000 somehow. No one got paid. It was – but but anyway, no, it was 5,000 copies free. And Gary Moffat was a self-described anarchist, and actually – he has a bit of a reputation. He died in 2001, actually. Mm-hmm. He was a bit younger than what I am now when he died. He was born in 1940, approximately. And he's sort of the opposite type of anarchist from Jaggi Singh, because Gary Moffat was into old movies. He made the pronouncement once that any movie made after 1950 was garbage. And actually, in Toronto was like a big thing about at the time. And I went to Toronto in 1984. There was a guy, Rig Hart. You haven't come across this character, have you?
No.
He was showing 60mm films of animation and Buster Keaton and stuff. And So Gary was sort of in one leg of the anarchist world and one leg in sort of the old movie world and comic book world. And I don't think Jaggi Singh has seen this stuff. He's more contemporary.
Different generation.
Yeah, I couldn't get the age of Jaggi. I think he was born in 1970, but I was looking for the evidence of his age. But what happened was that, ironically enough, I kind of lost track of Gary Moffat. I came back to Vancouver. But something was very odd. It was called Freemadonia. And it's named after the fictional country in the Marx Brothers Duck Soup. And I tried to get a grant from it. It's kind of an odd thing. It was actually established in the year of the APEC protests. And it operates oddly in British Columbia and Ontario.
And so was this like a – like they set up a bit of an organization?
Yeah, it's sort of a funding thing that was started when he was still alive. Tragically, I found out he was going blind towards the end of his life, Gary Moffat. But what happened was that when I came back to Vancouver, I was kind of anarchist conscious. Mind you, Gary Moffat wasn't the biggest advertisement for anarchy in his own little way. I mean, I'm for progressive ideas, but I don't know, being a full-blooded anarchist, be it Jaggi Singh or Gary Moffat, I don't know, not quite. But I was attuned to anarchy to know there was Spartacus books here. And which started actually at Simon Fraser University as a book exchange or a book, thing to make books cheaper because you were buying it all together. So it wasn't even any infrastructure to Spartacus books at the beginning. It was a book exchange thing. They had a table here at SFU. Then they had a location that was very close to where they were for a number of years, which burned down, by the way. If you go by, if you're on Hastings and you're at Victory Square and you go to and you actually look north, you see a big gaping hole. That's where Spartacus books were. You climbed up to see it, but it was a fire hazard, I guess. And it still hasn't, they haven't built anything.
Right.
In prime real estate. Jimmy Patterson has a billboard, so I guess he won against the anarchists at the end. But so I was kind of sporadically going to Spartacus Books, checking it out over the years. And actually, I think to myself, well, that was a long time before there was really something. From about when I came back in 1980 to 1997, there were things there, but it was sort of lukewarm. It's interesting, I was a member of the Green Party for a while, which is not the same thing. I mean, some of these anarchists kind of figure like a Marxist-Leninist, you have a violent revolution. And in fact, some of the people from Vanarchy, I know, not Jaggy, but other guys were talking about, oh, there's going to be blood on the streets or something, all this. So it was kind of a long time before. There was something kind of, I mean, it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, and I'm going to talk about this next week. I'm going to talk about the Squamish Five.
Yeah.
Because the Squamish Five was sort of, to me, it wasn't really good because...
So just for the Squamish Five, that was the 1980s.
That was the 80s.
So 80. Like 10, 15 years before.
Right. But it was like they were sort of cheerleaders for them. But, you know, yeah. It was all kind of a cabal of these people that went to jail, which they can have their cabal, you know. But it was sort of like they're like semi-chairleaders, Spartacus Books. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, don't trust the media, what the media is telling you about them. And so next week I'm going to talk a bit of, I'm going to talk about the UBC Anarchist Club,
mm-hmm.
who didn't know who Gary Moffat was. That was during the 1980s. And a bit more about a variety of things that happened in Spartacus Books prior to 1997.
Great. But,
yeah, so.
All right, so we'll have that for next week. And if you're curious, Spartacus Books is still around.
On Commercial Street.
Yeah, on Commercial Drive.
In 1983 Commercial, one number short of 1984.
Yeah. They need to be on the other side of the street. yeah, they were on Hastings near.
They were actually
all over the place.
Just behind the Chromation Center for a number of years, and then they went to Commercial Drive.
Yep. All right, we're almost out of time here. You've been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tewald.
I'm Peter R.H.
And we'll be back more with more reports about your local community with the support of our reporters Jesse and Danny and a whole bunch more. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in about 15 seconds. And then at 12 noon is Wandering Rhythms. And typically Tuesday up at 3 o'clock. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up here on CJSF 90.1 FM.